What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a Friday Bituation Room, the free bonus bish. Thank you so much for being here, for joining me, for pressing play if you're listening as a podcast. Once again, this is a stream that and a show that I've just added because why the hell not? I'm not doing anything. You're not doing anything. And I need you. And I need that. We need this. We need this. Again, this is our free show to watch and listen back. But we had a great Wednesday show. My God. Got a lot of good bitching in about Hillary Clinton and her just get over yourself. And we had a lot of talk of the groundhog spawn. That's right. Punxsutawney Phil had two kids, or shall I say Phyllis, his wife, had two kids. She did all the hard work, in fact. So get at that by becoming a patron or a member, patreon.com/bituationroom. You can become a member on YouTube or Twitch. What is up, people? We've got a great show on Tuesday coming up, actually. Arun Gupta is going to talk about the Zaka Group. He's a journalist and has been on the show many times before, but the Zaka Group, again, these first responders who were there on the scene in some of the communities that were attacked by Hamas on October 7th, and then were have found to have been mishandling the evidence, as well as fundraising from the crime scene. So that's not all. They have an incredibly lurid and scary past. So very excited. I guess I'm excited to have Arun with us. And then Deanne Smith, comedian, who has a special out now on Netflix, is going to be on the show as well. And she's been super vocal about Gaza too, which is dope, you know. And again, it's hard to find. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about that. We talked about that on Tuesday, but the comedy world, I guess this week, maybe the wheels have come off of trying to pretend like a genocide isn't unfolding. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But again, if you're here, like and share the stream. If you're listening, give this podcast 5 stars. And if you're watching, make sure to subscribe right now to this channel. What are you doing? Send in a super chat. Send in a piece of love. It means the world and it helps. It does indeed. Why can't I see everyone's comments? What's happening? Where'd they all go? Okay, there they are. Hi. Hey. So I do want to talk about Roseanne. I do want to talk about whether Donald Trump is on Ozempic. And I do want to talk about maybe no labels if we have a chance. Ooh, that's a lot to get into this little hour. But, you know, after Tuesday morning, Monday evening's news about the 7 aid workers who were assassinated in Gaza, now we're getting somewhere, kind of, right? That plus demonstrators locking down outside of Lockheed Martin, which maybe we'll watch this wild footage from. But now Biden has decided that initially there were some headlines, Biden's angry, ooh, man, angry. If only he had power. Powerful man feels powerless, but only in his mind. In fact, he is the most powerful man. What is this anti-hero? It is always exhausting rooting for him. You know what I'm saying? Turns out Joe Biden had a strongly worded, not email, but phone call with Netanyahu and was like, look, aid might be conditioned if you don't protect civilian and humanitarian workers' lives. And a little too late, real late, but that's okay. Hey, C plus for effort. And I love that we still have to sort of pretend. We sort of like, you know, paint our faces and go through the pantomime that Israel is moral. And they somehow try to minimize civilian casualties. And then John Kirby gets out there, you know, just a literal douche in a suit and just kind of, you know, straps in and is like, we don't know anything. We've got no evidence. Yeah, you do, man. You do. So anyway, we have to keep pretending that Israel doesn't deliberately target aid workers in order to help with the speed up the starvation of the Gazan people, and doesn't deliberately target civilians in order to, again, speed up the extermination of the Palestinian people. But it's starting to feel a little different, because now some of the senators, some of his greatest allies, Senator Chris Coons among them, are putting some pressure on Joe Biden. This is from The Guardian. Biden allies and Senate pile on pressure. I like this, the word Senate pile, because I'm just like thinking of some sort of, you know, I mean, we shouldn't be thinking of it, but you know what I'm thinking of, you know. We all know Madison Cawthorn blew the whistle on the Senate piles. Pile on pressure to halt Israel aid over conduct of Gaza war. My view is no more military aid to Israel when children there are starving. So hours after Joe Biden told Israel to take concrete steps to protect civilians or risk losing military support from the U.S., top members of President's Democratic Party ramped up pressure on the White House to go further. Sanders was among the strongest voices, saying they should not get another nickel in military aid until it markedly facilitates the flow of provisions into a region that the U.S. suspects is already grappling with famine. I mean, that's not, like, again, so it's okay to sell them 2,000-pound bombs and F-15s so long as they also allow in a little bit of aid. And it seems like maybe there's been some movement in the north of Gaza that Israel is going to do that. Like, we can do better. We can do better. Let's keep moving on. Let's see if some senators can do better than that. Because ultimately, as I believe it was a Doctors Without Borders representative said initially, just pointing out the hypocrisy and the cruelty of feeding someone while also funding their death. We're looking at one of the worst humanitarian disasters we've seen, Sanders told CNN. Adding that it was not the U.S.'s job to worry about how Gaza may tie into the political future of the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Vermont senator added, my view is no more military aid to Israel when there are children that are starving. Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, who I will remind you openly said that UNRWA was not connected to the October 7th Hamas attacks like Israel alleged, and yet did vote to defund UNRWA as part of the funding package that was a must pass, right? And not everyone did. He was a senator who did, which is just wild to think. No funding until 2025, again, when the ethnic cleansing will be, who knows what the state will be at that point. Said, I was glad to see the president indicate that he's going to monitor compliance and base U.S. policy going forward on government meetings, these requirements that suggest no more anything goes when it comes to policies towards Netanyahu government. Topping the list of policies that Biden could leverage against Israel is a suspension of transferring offensive weapons to Israel if it fails to reduce civilian harm or getting desperately needed assistance to people in need, Van Hollen said. Senator alluded to the policy days after Israeli airstrikes killed those 7 employees of the World Central Kitchen. This is what I like to see. The Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, which remember early on, the wonderful activists who were bird dogging her, rightfully, sitting in her office, found her at dinner in, I think, October, November of last year. Good on them. Like, I know it feels like when we put in so much effort, when we risk arrest, when we, you know, get in people's faces, that it's all the same. It's not. It's not. And this is thanks to outside pressure. Each and every one of these senators has been pressured, you know, whether it's phone calls, whether it's protests, their own constituents have told them, of course, the grand majority of us who believe in an immediate and permanent, not just immediate, but permanent ceasefire. Warren is saying she's going to seek to impede, oh yeah, the sale of F-15s to Israel, which was another fun headline. It wasn't just 2,000 pound bombs, but F-15. What the fuck does Israel need F-15s for? After the killings of the World Central Kitchen staffers, which included a U.S.-Canadian citizen and 3 British nationals, And the day, again, a day before, Biden administration is mulling a $18 billion transfer. Can we have fucking universal health care for the love of God? $18 billion. Can you fully fund Medicaid? You know what I'm saying? Can we have full expansion of that? Can we have any? Can we have full student debt relief? Just do it, the whole thing. Like, fucking anything. We had to scream to get free COVID tests, which, by the way, you can still get free COVID tests from the federal government. And everyone should. I like put in a million different addresses and got all of them. Because them shits is free, and off the shelf, they're like $30. So what are you waiting for? But this is the kind, like, again, if we can rebrand diabetes, cancer, mental health, mental illness, if we can rebrand arthritis as Hamas, I feel like that would go a really long way to getting some attention. So, you know, just be like, oh my God, you know, arthritis is using me as a human shield. You better give me $18 billion. Eh? Can we get some healthcare? Okay, so good on Warren. Biden administration have generally stood in the steadfast support of Israel, blah, blah, blah. We know. So, yeah, we're working on it. And you know who's not working on it? This guy's my fave. This is my fucking fave. This guy, man, John Fetterman, who continues to be this guy, like just this guy. This guy who everyone thought was a progressive, touted, I guess, pro-worker policies. Big dude, seems kind of working class because he refuses to put on a fucking suit, has a stroke. We all defend him and pretend like he can string a sentence together, which he very much cannot. And look, if you suffered a stroke, yeah, I mean, I have every kind of empathy for you. And we did. He was running against fucking Dr. Oz. He won. Everyone celebrated. I'm sure a lot of us donated to his campaign. Motherfucker has made the greatest 180. I'm not a... Oh, here was another article. I'm not a progressive anymore. That was his big thing. And specifically because it seems like he answered the, you know, the bat signal, the Zionist signal put out, which is like, you will get hella money if you never, ever question anything we do, okay? And he was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go. And, you know, we've talked about how AOC didn't answer that call, and a lot of others haven't answered that call to their detriment, or to their, you know, the fact that AIPAC is spending so much money to try and defeat them right now, which, by the way, I do think that if you have any extra change, In addition to becoming a patron, is to kick it to any of the squad members to defend them against what's happening right now. I'm trying to get this article, but here is John Fetterman on Twitter saying, quote tweeting the New York Times, which is, I mean, the lefty New York Times, especially on Israel, am I right? In a call with Benjamin Netanyahu, President Biden called an airstrike that killed aid workers unacceptable and appeared to condition support on how Israel changes course. And Fetterman writes, in this war against Hamas, no conditions for Israel. Like, who's writing this for him? Do you know what I'm saying? Did he just hire, like, Jonathan Goldblatt? Or, like, who, what... AIPAC stooge did he just hire to be like, here, you tweeted for me, I don't care. And this is my thing, like, homie, you represent Pennsylvania. This is not a red state, man. Like, it's not a red state. You know your voters are not in support of this genocide. And also, if you're online, Do you see the photos coming out? Do you at all? And this goes for every Zionist, every liberal Zionist. Like, do you stop paying attention? When do you pay attention? Does someone, because I don't have the heart, because I don't want to engage, to send some of these atrocious headlines and stories and images to my liberal Zionist friends, but they should know. Or are they back to just like food photos? You know, are they back to just like, you know, whatever bullshit they're doing? Have we realized that Instagram is the least happy place? It used to be great. Selfies, butt pics, you know what I'm saying? Like pit animals. And now it's just genocide. Anyway, this is your progressive Senator John Fetterman, who has made his bed with the Israeli lobby. Clearly, like, what do they fucking have on him? Do you know what I'm saying? The article I wanted to pull up, but I'm not getting access to right now, is that his staff is quitting in droves. His staff is not happy, and I wouldn't be either. Three of John Fetterman's top communication staffers have resigned in the last month. This is according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Nick Gavio was the deputy communications director, will leave at the end of March to take a new role with the Working Families Party, an actual progressive organization. His former communications director, Joe Calvello, left earlier this month to work for Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, another ostensible actual progressive. And Emma Mustian, a press and digital aide, also left Fetterman's office to work on the re-election of Senator Bob Casey. So onward and upward, much better choice for them. But like, my guy. And this is the thing about senators. He'll probably get reelected. I mean, I really hope he doesn't. I truly hope he doesn't. But his people are like just, yeah, fleeing him. I did want to mention, because of, you know, I feel like some of the radio silence that we've seen from certain outlets and people. And one of those areas, and we talked about this on Tuesday with John Marco, is in comedy, right? And it's difficult because you have to find your way around, how do I speak about this that's funny? How do I speak about this that isn't just bringing everybody down, but I really want to say something? And it isn't easy. And also, who am I to say something? A lot of people second guess themselves, but that's different when you're like sort of a random comedian versus if you are, let's say, Stephen Colbert with a national platform. Now, I occasionally dabble in some Colbert. I really like his monologues. He's been fairly silent when it comes to the entire war, if you still want to call it that, on Gaza. There've been a couple jokes here and there. He initially did some coverage about the misinformation that was going around. But I just did, like, you could just search. Now, I understand not everyone, they're not going to necessarily put it in the description on YouTube. But he's got, if you search Gaza, same with Israel, three videos. And one of them is with fucking John fucking Fetterman. So there's not a lot that Colbert's been putting out. He's got an interview with John Dickerson, who's a head of CBS News, talking about war reporting. That's lightweight. First of all, Zionist, lightweight. And then, of course, a day ago, he speaks out about the attack on the World Central Kitchen. Now, I am of the mind that sometimes white people gotta die for people to pay attention. Now, I don't say gotta, but white people often and foreigners often die when they're in like war zones, and that's when everyone starts to pay attention or starts to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe this has gone too far. Like, honey, have you not been paying attention for 6 months? Do you not see the horror stories? Have you not seen the babies in incubators? Have you not seen the children without their parents? I mean, like clearly you're wealthy enough to have been to insulate yourself, I guess, from the algorithm or something. But he spoke out, and this was for the first time. And look, I understand, again, what I'm trying to say is, as a late night writer, as a late night host, like, you might not want to always center, you know, Israel. But like, let's just take a page out of the fucking Onion, or even like John Oliver, who's done an incredible job. You know, it is a weekly show. It's on HBO. Again, it is different. But, like, there is a way to satirize all this. Look at Matt Lieb, right? Like, there is a way to talk about this issue. Here's one that's not that political. Hundreds of multi-pronged Israel-Palestine proxy wars currently being fought across local Facebook groups. Very funny. There you go. That is from The Onion. But then it gets even better. Obviously, Americans explain how they are ignoring the Israel-Hamas war. Funny. Israel assures it's doing everything possible to minimize civilians. No notes. Every word besides children used to describe Palestinians under 18. Again, the reason you don't do this is because, as a mainstream outlet, is because you're afraid. You're afraid of the backlash. You're afraid of, which is just wild to me, right? Like, Stephen Colbert's not going to lose his fucking job. I digress. There's a way to make this funny. It's just about whether or not you choose to do so, whether or not you choose to bring attention to it. You got some of the best writers in the country. You can make this work. But anyway, I digress. It had to be the World Central Kitchen workers being absolutely and deliberately targeted for Stephen Colbert to say something. So here he is. Forgive me. It's on Instagram.
After unloading shipments of food, they were hit by multiple precision Israeli drone strikes. They were riding in three vehicles, including two armored cars carrying the World Central Kitchen logo on the roof. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed it was a mistake, but he wasn't exactly apologetic.
Unfortunately, in the last day, there was a tragic case of our forces unintentionally hitting innocent people in the Gaza Strip. This happens in wartime.
Nothing just happens. You are responsible. If your answer is this happens in war, then maybe consider ending the war. Because this is not. This is not an isolated incident. On top of the thousands and thousands of innocent lives that have been lost, more than 200 aid workers have been killed in Gaza since the war began.
Okay, so. Now, once again, what is notable about this is not just that he's speaking about it, but it is the applause. And I will remind everyone, and we didn't talk about it, but that comedian Rami Yusuf used his SNL monologue to also say "Free Palestine," and he used that he said that as part of a prayer that he was offering to the people of Gaza, and it was great, and the audience applauded. They applauded Free Palestine. And then he said, free the hostages. And I was initially like, wait a minute, did he just do the line where let's free the hostages too? Like this, at this point, incredibly bad faith BS line of free the effing hostages. If I have to hear that one more time, we all know that it is a cover up because if Israel wanted to free the hostages, they could have and would have and had done so. They freed as many hostages as they fucking killed. So it's just, anyway. But then Rami says, free all the hostages. Wink, wink. And one of the best protest signs I've seen in these 6 months is the free the 2.2 million hostages in Gaza. Just, mwah, chef's kiss. So some people use their platform. So that's Colbert. So that's how you know it's broken through. It's broken through even to Morning Joe, which we know Biden watches all the time because he only watches news shows that have his name in it, not unlike Donald Trump. So it's happening. Maybe something is happening. We shall see. That being said, what should we talk about? Oh, my God. There's just so much. Oh, God. Yeah, boy. I'm trying to pull up this video. But first, quickly, thank you to Sweet Dane Dragon for gifting 5 subs over on YouTube. Again, you get access to our bonus bish if you're a member. That's so nice of you. And B-Cat K says Reaper. I'm not sure what that means, but I thought it meant Grim Reaper because I actually feel like Benjamin Netanyahu's voice is so scary to me. Like, I've felt this for a very long time, but like,
he has the voice of someone who eats babies. I don't like, it's just very low and very terrifying to me. It's like a little Buffalo Bill, but it is not.
And the way he said that, the way he said, like, these things happen, if you watch the video, if you're listening, notice there is an actual smirk the entire time he's saying, he's talking about, like, this incredible crime, this deliberate crime. Where the fuck is she? Come on now. Okay. Here we go. We got to talk about our girl, Roseanne. So we have to check in with Roseanne, obviously, because, you know, Ambien still needs to be, you know, made whole. John Marco was talking about Ambien the other day, and I was like, we didn't have time to talk about which racial slurs he uttered once he was on Ambien. But Roseanne Barr was at Mar-a-Lago for a Carrie Lake fundraiser. Again, Carrie Lake running for Senate in Arizona. And Kyrsten Sinema not running. TikTok on how, like, is Kyrsten Sinema going to stump for Carrie too? Like, we shall see. This will be fun. Everyone should be supporting Ruben Gallego and, you know, making calls for him, donating to him and whatnot. But this, now, here's the other thing about Mar-a-Lago. If you guys saw my Piers Morgan appearance, homie Vince or whatever was like, Mar-a-Lago, one room is worth more than $18 million. And I was like, what? But I will say, this room, although it looks like where some billionaire's eyes wide shut, like, you know, probably low-key illegal things happen, it does look fancy. It looks nice. It looks fancy. It looks like a room in Clue, you know? Trump did it with a bunch of stolen documents, or Roseanne Barr did it in this little turban and I'm having a midlife crisis necklace. So here she is with a massive, massive glass of wine. Massive glass of wine, which, like, I don't know. I like to believe the wine's good, but we've seen what cocktails look like out of Trump properties. And they're not, so who knows? It might be piss. Straight Russian sex worker pee. Here she is.
Hey, old bro. How are you doing? I'm here at Mar-a-Lago supporting Carrie Lake, and it was a fantastic evening, and our Trump is here being the DJ, and I've just danced, and everyone's amazed. So I'm just going...
Wait a minute. Hey, everybody, everyone's amazed because there was a DJ and he was Trump. And then I danced and then we did the thing. And then I got like, what? What are you talking about? I got to silence my phone. Show that stuff. I don't need you relating it. I actually want to see that. That being said, I do think DJT as an actual DJ, like, if he doesn't win, can he at least headline Coachella? Can someone explain to him that that's like being the president?
I'm going to say to you, please drop out of college because it's going to ruin your lives. Do me a favor, drop out. They don't teach you nothing good. Email me or Twitter me or whatever you call me, and I'll help you with your life. But you got to get out of college because it isn't nothing but devil worshiping, baby blood drinking, Democrat donors. Love.
Oh boy. If there was ever an ad for higher education, I think this is it. We found it. You know, hey, bye. You don't need a higher ed. You don't drink the baby's blood and do me, because come here with my Mar-a-Lago wine, and all they're going to teach you is how to woke. And if you don't need to woke, because I'm an entrepreneur. And anyway, mommy's got to lie down for a little bit. Like, I wish. I guess what I want to say is I don't know how people still like walk around. You know what I mean? Like, I wish like that, you know what I wish? I wish we lived in sort of like a video game and like there was some sort of like you a mute button or like a handicap that you could just place on someone where like they can't leave. You know what I mean? And then there are legitimately, I'm like thinking like there are people who can't move. They're, now I'm getting sentimental and weird. But the point is that how does Roseanne Barr just go around anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like, can we put her in a bubble? Can we just put her in, like, can we just, like, time out on her life for a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Can we Ursula Little Mermaid and, like, she loses the power of speech and song for a little bit? And then she's got it, like, that's 5 years? Anyway, Ambien's a hell of a drug. Hey everyone, I wanted to take a moment to let you know about Factor Meals. I'm not sure if you've heard about Factor Meals, but let me explain. Factor are meals delivered to your door that are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Now, this is really important if you're a parent like me, and sometimes you don't know what you're having for lunch or dinner, or whether or not the baby's going to throw a fit in the middle of a restaurant, so you need to like eat in a park randomly, or in my case, you need to eat on a 6-hour drive, which we actually did, and we ate Factor meals. In fact, I had, I think, the mushroom risotto, which was excellent, like surprisingly delicious. And each week you get 35 different options to choose from. You've got keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, all that stuff. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast but also upscale options done easily. Check it out. Head to factormeals.com/bituation50 and use code bituation50 to get, that's right, 50% off. That's code bituation50 at factormeals.com/bituation50 and taste it for yourself. I'm telling you right now, it's good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can't zoom in on this, but I'm really going to try. But behind her, if you can see this, there is an image of Donald Trump. Ugh, there is a painting of Donald Trump in the background, sort of like in some ostentatious frame, and he's wearing like a V-neck kind of like club sweater and little khakis and is the most fucking 80s villain you'll ever see. Like, this is the thing, I feel like the 80s owes us an apology. Do you know what I mean? Like, for a million things. But for Donald Trump, more specifically, we understand this is the most like Trump is a scrunchy on like a Star Search model contestant in a fucking Corvette. Like, he is the most corny Miami Vice ass like motherfucker who's ever walked the planet. He is so tacky. It is so comical. It's just like the idea of like him representing masculinity or strength. No, he's corny. Corny rich man. That's all. He is Shooter McGavin. And that's what he looks like in this image. He's just Shooter McGavin. It's a painting. And he looks like he's on a fucking lunchbox for Miami Vice. Like a Miami Vice fucking lunchbox. And yet, that's what a lot of people see when they see old Donnie there. Roseanne, again, was at this, oh boy. She was at a fundraiser for Carrie Lake, and along with, ooh, there he is. Speaking of villains, what's this asshole's name? Oh my God, I just had it. Stone, Roger Stone. Roger, I will be right behind you in the Civil War. JK, I'll be smoking a cigar and laughing. Stone. Again, with Roseanne Barr. Oh, boy. And she remind, okay, during the event, Roseanne Barr spoke poolside to lit Carrie Lake's crowd. In her speech, Barr, who ran for president in 2012 on the Green Party and Peace and Freedom ticket, stated, time out 1 second. Can we just put it out there? Not all Green Party candidates or Peace and Freedom Party candidates, but some of them have shown themselves to be quite the opposite of what they purport. And maybe we should vet them a little bit more. Just because you're a celebrity and you hold vaguely progressive ideas doesn't mean you should be a Green Party candidate, right? And this is to say, let's put aside like the idea of the Green Party and the idea of third parties. Yes, we believe in third parties. I think it's important, especially on a local level. I believe in building third party power on a local level, but jumping into the third party racket at the presidential level, to me, it's not strategic, number one. It's not movement focused. It's not organic. It's not grassroots. It's just to do it. It's just to say, I hate both parties. And yeah, join the fucking club, man. We all do. But hello, Kyrsten Sinema. Like, we don't talk about the fact that she was a Green Party candidate enough. I'm just saying, like, we don't vet people enough. And by we, I don't know who I mean. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, baby blood and all that. Yes, indeed. Speaking of, though, Trump and wanting to look like that painting, guys, have you heard that Trump has been losing weight? Here's a picture, if you're listening. It's a picture from Easter, and he's with his grandkids. One of them really looks like Don Trump Jr., but I'm pretty sure these are the Stepford wives and the fake boys' children, Kushner and Ivanka. And they both have balloon animals that look like Donald Trump, so immediately scary. But there he is, and he just looks like a thinner man. Like, he looks like a frailer man in the same suit. So his suits haven't been refitted to really show the weight loss, but he does look a lot thinner. And a lot of people are saying it's Ozempic Trump, like that this is the work of Ozempic. And I don't disagree. Now, there is an alternate theory. You tell me whether you think this is true. Okay, so homie looks a lot thinner. He looks particularly thin. He's been at different rallies and whatnot. He doesn't look that thin. We can look at it. Here, I'll subject you to some bullshit in a second. The alternate theory is that actually it's Melania Trump, who has been, this is back in January, has been making sure that he skips his Sundays and cake at Mar-a-Lago. You know, my husband, he always wants, I can't, let me get, oh, this is German now. No, no more German. I've forgotten how to do my Melania. Fuck. But my husband, he always go to buffet and he says that he need everything. But I say, no, that's just boys talk. That's just buffet talk. He need to grab pudding by the pussy. He need to grab. I will work on this. I will work on this for you. Bullshit. Okay, that's what I want to say. Bullshit. You only care like I care that Matt works out. He doesn't, but I care. You only care when you love someone. Melania doesn't fucking love someone. They haven't slept together in forever, if ever. She doesn't give a shit about what he looks like. She's like, if he's not nasty, it's going to be easier to leave him when I need to leave him because I've been wanting to leave him for so long. But no, a source tells Page Six that staying away from Mar-a-Lago buffet at his Florida club, along with help from wife Melania, has done the trick. The insider says that Trump has allegedly dropped 30 pounds. The people at the club say he's eating healthier and less from the buffet. Trump said has not been scarfing down ice cream sundaes or chocolate cake with two scoops of vanilla on it. This is all bullshit. The former president repeatedly told a sketch artist he needed to drop some pounds. That I believe. I feel like He saw himself in the court artist sketches, which, by the way, some of them were incredibly generous, and was just like, oh boy, oh, that neckline. His doctor, one of the many doctors who paid to lie about him, has reduced his weight through an improved diet and continued daily physical activity while maintaining a rigorous schedule. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. This guy doesn't fucking work out. This guy didn't give, he does not give a shit. Like, that is, I wish that some of, you know, the MAGA red pillars could get through to him, but imagine he doesn't work hard for anyone else. Like, he doesn't care. He sort of cares, but he doesn't really care. I'm betting he saw what happened to Mike Pompeo, which is, oh my God, overnight, Pompeo's looking good. I kind of want to invade Iran now. Wow. Whoa, who's that over there? That's Mike Pompeo. Former defense secretary? Yeah, I think so. Wait, let me Google it. Was it Secretary of State? I'm pretty sure it was Defense Secretary. It was Secretary of State. Shut up, bitch. Okay, whatever. He's still hot. Wow. Look at the way he just tucked his double chin, like, into his chest. That's amazing. I hope he buys us a drink here at Mar-a-Lago. It just buys us, like, a dirty martini with a bunch of melted ice inside of it. Mike Pompeo was looking good. And he was like, oh, I'm just dieting and fucking eating right. People, we all know, for those of you who just diet and exercise, you know it's bullshit. Because when you exercise, it's really good for you. It's not about weight loss, though. It's super good for you. It helps you, obviously, you're burning some calories, but you're also gaining muscle. And muscle can be, like, you can put on weight from muscle. Diet doesn't always work. Again, things that are really good for you, but they're not going to show those results in just, like, a few months. Now, Ozempic, however, definitely will. As many celebs report or don't report, Ozempic will. And I absolutely think that Donald Trump is not above Ozempic. He wants that Mike Pompeo love. Okay. I'm done with that. We're done. Let's read a couple chats. Anti-corporatist, what do you want me to send as a super chat? Nothing. This. Thank you. Robert, thank you for your super chat. We are dead and this is hell. And very soon all the lights will go out. I like your positive attitude. Told for Twitch says over 100 UNRWA workers, dozens of UN workers. Yeah, it's like, so because it's a celebrity chef, I don't know. Like, I don't care what's the thing that breaks a camel's back or breaks through to people. All I care is that we fucking end this genocide. And Sweden, you've been a member for 12 months, a whole year. Amazing. Amazing. And Reese, thank you so much for your super chat. Dizzle McFizzle says, can we cover the real questions, namely whether or not I should smoke crack or not? I'm leaning yes. These are the hard questions. I would say no, just because it's really addictive. And, like, if you like to live indoors, I wouldn't. Sweet Anne Dragon says, imagine looking in from the outside the U.S. There are so many things in your system that make no sense to us. Oh, I know. You are you're living in the cradle of democracy over there. My eyebrows are weird. And I know it's not perfect. And I know folks from Finland, Ylva, always remind me, Finland, right? About how the rightward shift in Scandinavia, in the Scandinavia. But no, things are fucking ridiculous. You want to see the level of ridiculous that it is, that this country is? Matt Gates and White Ford Bronco, thank you for that super chat. Y'all know there must be a freaky room in Mar-a-Lago that is 20-foot naked picture of him with a tiger stripe bikini, right? Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely yes. This was outside of a Lockheed Martin, which has headquarters down on the peninsula in the Bay Area. Hang on, I don't know why this is. Oh, it's. And a bunch of people, like, I think dozens of people, basically locked down, and they were like, had lock boxes, chicken wire, everything, and locked down to block the entrance to Lockheed Martin in protest of Lockheed's weapons dealing to Israel. And this was some fucking employee who tried to run them over. And then when he got out, was like, someone's going to die. Excuse me, very loud. I apologize. I'll turn it down. Yikes. So he's gunning it to a line of protesters in a white SUV, and people are chasing after him saying, stop.
You want to go to prison?
Do you want to go to prison? He's saying, uh-oh.
Get out of the way. You want to go to prison? Somebody's going to die. You want to
get out of the way or somebody's going to die. I'm telling you right now. And then he pulls out a fucking knife.
You're on video right now. You
want to
go to prison.
Are you gonna hurt people? We have eyes on you, sir. Don't do this. We have eyes on you. We have eyes on you.
Okay. Just a testament to like the kinds of protesters that are out there. And if you were, I mean, look at, these are folks who are with, like, I guess they're doing legal services and they're doing security work because they're not locked down. They're the ones surrounding the folks who are locked down, who are providing, they're helping provide security to make sure that things like this don't happen. Listen to how they treat him. They're so nice to him. Right? Like, they're just like, think about your future. Do you want to hurt people right now? Do you want to go to prison? Right? They're trying to de-escalate, which is part of, I mean, that's how you know you're in a good action, right? Is like, if security is actually keeping you safe, when a crazed motherfucker who's, I gotta go to work, Israel needs more bombs. Like, bro. Take a day off. Everyone else was probably like, oh, thank God. I've been waiting for them to lock down these headquarters. We're complicit in genocide. And this guy's freaking out. I gotta work. Didn't you work from home for a really long time? I gotta go to work. Pulls out a knife. Looks like he's about to like cut a piece of fruit with it. Like he's just like so, it's like, what do you, he's not really wielding it. He just has it. Which again, speaking of, if you're in Scandinavia looking in, you know, we've got knife guys in this country. Do you guys have knife guys? The United States has knife guys. Yeah. There's gun guys. There's also knife guys. Knife guys were just like, you're in a normal hanging out with friends and then just a 7-inch blade or like a 9-inch blade or a 5-inch blade or I don't know, whatever. However, a couple inches longer than their dicks, obviously. That's how you know what blade you want. You go up to knife guy, the knife seller, and you're like, yeah, I've got a mol epine. And they're like, oh, you're going to want, you know, a 6-inch blade. And he's like, you're like, no, I have a mol epine, a micro. I don't know why suddenly there's an accent, but it makes sense. So there are knife guys. We just have knife guys. People running around with fucking switchblades and they just like are like, hey. Men, you already live in patriarchy. Like shit is already generally going your way. Can you not? Anyway, I don't know if they've ID'd this man yet. I don't know what's happened with him, but very scary. And yet very, very heroic and brave to the people who were out there. Okay, I was fed this on Instagram and I have to share it with you because while Bernie Sanders behind the scenes is supposedly pressuring Joe Biden around his Israel policies and trying to condition aid for fucking finally, there's an election going on, and Joe Biden has long relied upon Bernie Sanders' support to get us, to get the progressives, to get the young people to figure out what they're into, man. Oh, they want to like own a home one day, man, or they want to, you know, not go into medical debt. Yeah, they want to like send their kids to school and make sure they're not going to die in a mass shooting or themselves die. Yeah, so he's pulling out, this is Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden's running pre-roll ads like Donald Trump. Donald Trump's on X running a bunch of like, Donald Trump Jr. is like, my father, like, hey, how's it going? I don't know where you are right now, but look, if you're like me and you just fell off the couch of a friend that's letting you crash for like the 12th night and their family's like, when are they going to leave, mom? And you're like, look, I'm here. But also one, the couch is like also a tanning bed. You're going to want to donate to my father's campaign. So that's what they're running on X. And then Joe Biden on anything that's vaguely liberal is also running his like, this is how his ads start off. They're just like, folks, it's not a joke. We're behind in our fundraising plan. We got to, okay. Okay. Hey, folks, that's what I'm doing. And you're like, I don't know whether to skip through this pre-roll or what's happening. And then there's the other ones that are like, it's like all of a sudden it's like really well lit. And it's just, you know, a beautiful man's face by the name of Barack Obama. Like just attractive. Just like, hey, everyone. Hey, there's an election coming up. Very important. And my friend Joe here is running for re-election. And then Biden's just like, he's right. And what we got to do is, okay, he was right. You know, and you're like, I don't know what are you selling me? But so that's the two of them. I haven't done that impression, either of those, in a mirror, so I don't know what they look like, but hope they're a little bit better than my Melania. I hope they make up for the Melania. But I saw this ad fed to me on Instagram, and it is not a bad idea. It is Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders watching want to zoom. There we go. And they're watching it on a tablet. So it's like two old men on tablet watching third old man who happens to be Donald Trump. And this is a Trump clip back from December. He's at Mar-a-Lago and he's telling his billionaire friends at Mar-a-Lago that he knows they're rich and he's going to make sure they stay rich.
Because you are all people that have a lot of money. I know 20 of you and you're rich as hell. We're going to give you tax cuts. We're going to pay off our debt.
No, that's everything you need to know about Donald Trump. When he thinks the cameras aren't on, he tells his rich friends, quote, we're going to give you tax cuts. Can anybody in America?
Okay. So it's like Bernie and Biden standing in this blue background, and they have just gotten done watching the tablet, which I think is kind of, it's like a fun, first of all, Bernie's on screen, so I'm watching. Second of all, they're doing a live react, so they're playing the internet game. Love it. And then Bernie actually is intelligible. Like, I don't know what Biden just said. I think that's when he tells you what he really means. Like, his face, look, here's the thing about Biden. I know his policies, some of them are good, but his face does look like it's animatronic. Like, it looks like someone is in there, like, moving the small little, like, there's just a, again, he's had a little bit of, you know, he's had a little bit of the, Botox, maybe a little facelift, but the point is, it's just, There's a little bit, like, only this moves, you know, up here. And it looks animatronic. Like a little bit of an animatronic squirrel.
America imagined that at a time of massive income and wealth inequality, billionaires are doing phenomenally well, that he's going to give them huge tax breaks. And then at the same time, he's going to cut Social Security and Medicare and programs that our kids need.
This is his economic plan? That's what he wants to do? Cutting taxes for his friends, cutting Social Security for you. That makes me mad as hell, quite frankly.
The hypocrisy.
Okay. it is really like Stelter and Adlet. What's it, their names? The Muppet old men. Like, they truly are the Muppet old men. And Biden's, like, Bernie's older than Biden? Or they're basically the same age, but he's giving, like, younger brother vibes here. He is a younger brother. Bernie Sanders is. I believe he is. Is his brother Larry younger or older? I thought he was older. And Biden's kind of like, he's doing the old man thing where he's sort of like, stares off in the distance. And then when he's reading, folks, this is what he wants you to believe. Imagine. You know what I'm saying from Richview. And then Bernie's like, oh, I'm listening to you because you actually believe what you're saying. Like, you know, the hypocrisy is outrageous. I don't need a teleprompter to tell me the rich don't need a fucking tax break. And that it makes me very mad because it makes me very mad.
It's just outrageous. This is what he says to his billionaire friends. Not quite what he's saying at his rallies.
There are 1,000 billionaires in America, in this country. They pay an average tax rate of 8.2% federal taxes. So I have a plan. We have a plan.
I have a plan. We have a plan. Oh, shit. Giving Bernie a little bit of credit there. I love that. Which is very cute. You could just say we have a plan.
His good buddies to begin to pay their fair share.
You have one candidate who wants to cut Medicare and Social Security and one who's going to protect it. That's why I'm supporting Joe, and I hope you will as well.
Thanks, pal. You know, I really need it. I'm fucking up every which way from Wednesday. And then there's a little bit of a, he throws his arm around him. Bernie's got a smile on. They're old friends. Biden, you know, when old men, what is up with the receding lip line of an old white man? I don't understand. Like, you know, the point where it's just like, It just goes back into nothing. And you're like, you know, and then suddenly, what is it? Somebody tell me what it is. Anyway, pulling out the big guns, ladies and gentlemen, for the election, and that would be Bernie Sanders. This has been the bonus Friday episode that is free. Free to listen, free to watch back. Become a patron if you like the show, if you like the bad impressions. Patreon.com/bituationroom is where you go. You can also become a member on YouTube. You can become a member on Twitch. But you know what? Patreon, not going to lie, gives me the best cut. And there's great content and so many perks. Discounts on merch, discounts on the American Prospect. Patreon.com/bituationroom. What a wild ride it has been. Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Tuesday. Later. Have I read all the happy super chats? Yes. Bye-bye.